Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
And I knocked at the view.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce,
and out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Ce m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why'd you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Well, I guess that was a semi-cold open. I was waiting for the other music to kick in. I guess it's not going to. So, welcome. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And those of you that were present last week may have noticed that I was not here. As I promised 2 weeks ago, if the baby were not yet arrived, then I would come on live. But as it so happens, Melina Rose Boldea was born last Thursday around 7:30 Central time. Healthy baby, 7.4 ounces. Actually, 7 pounds, 4 ounces. She wasn't just 7.4 ounces because that would not be good. So yes, 7 pounds, 4 ounces. Baby is healthy. Mother is healthy. And if they happen to walk by and she's not in the best of moods, you may actually hear her voice. So I know a lot has been happening in the world. I know a lot has been happening in the country. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've not had time to delve into absolutely anything. Those of you that are parents know full well how, let's just say, exhausting the first few weeks are after a newborn. And it's doubly so because Victoria, our first child, is only 3.5 years old, and she doesn't understand sometimes why she can't sleep with mommy anymore, or why the baby takes precedent during certain occasions, especially when she's hungry. So it's been an interesting week in the Voldia household. I haven't kept up with anything. I do know that Alabama voted for a Democrat senator who is a pro-abortion zealot who will likely vote yay on any gun control. And that's because character assassination works. That is the best way I can put it. And sadly, we are living in a time where it's very easy to accuse someone without a modicum of evidence. And it's happening more and more. And I think it's going to come to a tipping point. I'm trying to parse my words well, because I know that some people are overly sensitive. I got somebody saying that I was on a pedestal or on a soapbox, pontificating, if you will, because I told people to be holy rather than buy mashed potatoes by the bucket. Look, if God tells you to prepare, then do what God tells you. But if you're looking for escape, if your mentality is one of escapism, and somebody tells you that the way to escape what's coming upon the world is to buy beef jerky and, I don't know, water purifiers, they're lying to you. So I understand that there are strong emotions regarding this topic, as there are strong emotions regarding every topic. But there has to be some sort of delineation between an accusation void of evidence and an actual assault. I think that we've come to that point where everybody that cries fire is automatically believed, even though there is no smoke and there are no embers. We're seeing it play out, and I think that, if I read correctly, a Kentucky state lawmaker was accused by a 16-year-old, and the man actually went on a bridge and took his own life. Now, his family vehemently denied that this ever happened. He denied that this ever happened before taking his own life, because we've come to that point in society where you're guilty before being proven innocent. And one accusation makes you guilty. And it's very hard to regain one's good name. It's almost impossible once something like this is leveled against you. And especially when it comes to the realm of politics, it's such a blood sport nowadays. I mean, what's worse than accusing someone of pedophilia? Because that's essentially what they did to Roy Moore. They even came out and said it, you know, someone accused them of dating them when they were 14. And now he was branded a pedophile, now and forevermore. Man still denies it. And I would wager you this. Now that he lost the Senate election, all these allegations mysteriously, magically, going to just evaporate into the ether. No one's going to try to press charges. No one's going to try to sue the man for damages. No one's going to request that he take a lie detector test. Poof. All gone. Disappeared. Because the intent and the goal were achieved. Alabama. We're not talking about California or New York or Vermont or New Hampshire. Alabama got itself a pro-abortion senator because there's no such thing as love of country anymore, especially when it comes to these entrenched politicians. They couldn't care less about the country as long as they retain power. So, good times ahead. I think that politically speaking, we're in for a roller coaster of a ride. And 2018 is going to shake a lot of dross loose. But back to the baby. She's beautiful. Of course she is. Every baby is. She looks a lot like her big sister. At least a lot like her big sister looked when she was 1 week old. But I'm ever thankful to God because mother and child are healthy. And that is what matters most. So, yes, I am sleep deprived. Yes, I find myself standing in a certain place not knowing why I'm there because it seems as though we're getting no sleep. But this too shall pass. So, glory to God. I'm thankful. I'm a happy dad twice over now. So, Hollywood apparently is imploding. From what I heard on the radio going to the store, if you look at a microcosm of human existence, and focus down on just Hollywood, you'd think that 95% of the people in the world were rapists and sexual predators. It's becoming a sight to behold. And every day you wake up wondering who's next. And oddly enough, see, this is the difference. The allegations that are coming out against those in Hollywood are not 40 years old. They're not even denying them. They come out with a half-hearted apology, not so much because they're sorry, but because they're sorry they got caught. And they step away from the limelight for a season. That's all that's going to happen. Unless charges are pressed and people go to jail, this entire melodrama that's been going on will have absolutely no result other than how do I put it nicely? Other than making it so people walk around with their heads down, hands in their pockets, not saying anything to anyone because it can be misconstrued as some sort of harassment. Now, am I defending predators? Absolutely not. Are there predators? Absolutely there are. But I've read some of these stories and some of these accusations where somebody touched an elbow and said, "You did a great job today." And they took that to mean that they were being sexually harassed. So it's getting to the point that if you hold the door for someone or if you hold the elevator for someone, accuse you of having done something extremely untoward. And as we saw, these accusations, even though they might be unfounded, even though they might be false, they still have real-world consequences. And some people, psychologically speaking, can't handle the idea of being labeled a predator or a molester or this Kentucky state lawmaker, man. He denied it to the last. I mean, it's not like he left a note saying, "Well, I did it. I'm so sorry. Gotta go now." He denied it to the last. But the very idea of your neighbors and coworkers and everybody you know looking at you sideways because they think that you're a molester, a predator, someone who preys on young children, that's got to take a toll on you. And so remember a few months ago there was this big hubbub when Vice President Pence said that he wouldn't go to dinner with another woman unless his wife was there, or unless a third party of some sort was there as well. Looking back on that, seeing what's been happening, one could credibly see the wisdom of being wise, of being cautious, of taking preemptive measures so that the enemy has nothing, absolutely nothing, to accuse you with or of. See, not having or being alone with another woman other than his wife, Vice President Pence has eliminated the possibility of ever being accused of doing anything untoward. So are you seeing the wisdom of that? Is it starting to sink in? See, we're told to flee the appearance of evil. Now, knowing that we're supposed to flee the appearance of evil, it goes without saying that we're supposed to flee evil itself. And so, whether you're an elder or a pastor or someone that has a role... Gino, can you mute your mic, please? Because I can hear you. Hello, hello. Can you mute your mic, Gino?
Yeah.
Thank you, Gino. All right, buddy. See, Gino's tired too. I don't know why, because he doesn't have a newborn, but... anyway, what was I saying? Vice President Pence and the wisdom of his decision to honor his wife, and by honoring his wife, not be alone with any other woman except for his wife. You don't see any accusations coming out against him, do you? Now, eventually, there will probably be some nutburger somewhere that will say that while he was on the campaign trail, he touched her shoulder and gave her a wink. And we all know what that means. See, it's becoming absurd because we started out with real honest-to-goodness victims, and now we've progressed to this Me Too nonsense where it's about the limelight. And as disgusting and as polluted as that sound, believe me when I tell you, it's become about the limelight. Because all you have to say is Me Too, and your once dwindling career is re-energized because, well, you're on every talk show, you're being interviewed by whoever the guy who replaced Larry King is, and you're telling your sad, sad story of how you, as a strong, independent woman, had to fight off the advances of predators. Some of them are, 20 years too late. Some of them, knowing the kind of predators that roamed Hollywood, said absolutely nothing for decades. Because by all accounts, let's just say they thought their career was more important than protecting other young women from a similar fate as their own. So, although it's not entirely displeasing to see Hollywood falling apart, crumbling in on itself, eating itself from within, I'm concerned that the notion of being accosted, assaulted, whatever you want to call it, has become weaponized in America today. And the quickest way that you can throw mud on somebody's reputation, that you can throw mud on somebody's entire life, is to accuse them of something. Nobody says there needs to be evidence. Nobody says it needs to stick. The accusation alone will sully a man's reputation, a reputation that he's tried to maintain for the better part of his life. Now, that said, there are a lot of sleazebags as well that are getting exactly what's coming to them. There are men who are predators, who are chronically guilty of the things they're being accused of. But see, oddly enough, these are not the people denying accusations, and they don't have enough shame to step out of the limelight, never mind take their own life like the guy in Kentucky. Not even shame. They don't have enough self-awareness. They don't care. But the big thing now is to go to rehab. You go to rehab for a week, you're all better now. People pat you on the back and say, well done for taking the week and going to rehab and bettering yourself. Never mind all the people that you hurt. Never mind all the chaos that you caused in the lives of those who didn't deserve it. You went to rehab, and that's good enough for us. See, when you pick and choose who you forgive and who you give a pass to and who was rehabilitated and who wasn't, it becomes very dangerous. This is why I think the tide's going to turn on this issue. And I think one person out there somewhere is going to get accused of something they know they didn't do. And they're going to come out both barrels blasting. Because I know that if I get accused of something I know I didn't do, I will shout it from the rooftops. I did not do this. And I know that to some people it doesn't matter if you deny it, just the accusation alone is enough for them to give you the stink eye, I guess. And this is why it's such a powerful weapon. This is why it's being used so often. It used to be that the allegation was used sparingly. Herman Cain, Justice Thomas, you know, once in a while when you saw that certain people couldn't be gotten to, couldn't be compromised any other way, you throw out an allegation and sort of derail their entire trajectory. Because rather than being about doing their job and rather than being about implementing their agenda, if you will, they're busy denying something that they didn't do. And of course, the media plays along beautifully. Because every single time you get behind the microphone, the first question that's going to come out of their faces is, do you deny the allegations? And of course, the person answers, yes, of course I deny the allegations. But how can you deny the allegations when these women seem so credible? Do they really? Do they seem credible? I don't know. Let me be a bit full about their credibility when they took it upon themselves to forge a man's signature, make up stories about having met them, hold a grudge, because when that individual was a judge, he went against her in a court trial. So, you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt. How about that? We've become so quick to jump to conclusions. And I know it's easy to point and laugh and sort of revel in what's happening, but I think this was an unintended consequence. You know, I think they truly believe that they can weaponize allegation and sort of funnel it, focus it on whoever they wanted to. The problem is those on their side were just such abject scumbags. They were guilty of so much that once one individual, a little bit, the entire dam broke and it all came flooding out. And again, I don't think we've seen the end of it. I don't think we've seen the end of it by a long shot. But I do believe it's wise to take every accusation individually. We can't broad brush and say, well, yep, they were accused. They're guilty. Because an accusation does not guilt make, put it that way. Just because someone says something, it doesn't make it so. Now, if 10, 15, 20 different someone say something, and the person in question doesn't deny it, they just slink away into the shadows, never to be heard from again, well, then, okay. The credibility factor shoots up by a factor of 10. Now, find it interesting that the two places that are most predominantly being just dismantled by these kinds of accusations are Hollywood and politics. Think about that. Hollywood and politics. The most recent thing is that the congressional ethics chief, just the irony here is beautiful. The congressional ethics chief is himself accused of assaulting women. So, you know, when you put the fox in front of the hen house and expect the fox to guard it, not going to get a good result. But can you deal? He is the congressional ethics chief. And, well, apparently he has a few skeletons in his closet. The head of congressional ethics office has been sued for abusing position and accused of assaulting women. A key official involved in House investigations faces a federal lawsuit alleging misconduct. Now, these are becoming so common. It's happening so often that, it doesn't even leave a mark anymore. See, the whole idea of becoming desensitized. We hear about certain things so often from so many places that you just get used to hearing them. It doesn't shock anymore. It doesn't surprise anymore. You shrug your shoulders. Bill Cosby. You shrug your shoulders. Kevin Spacey. You shrug your shoulders. Dustin Hoffman. You shrug your shoulders. And you realize that the list is getting longer and longer and longer. And what shocked us now seems like an everyday occurrence. It's the same with habitual sin. I know that I'm weaving the spiritual into this, but forgive me, lack of sleep. But it's the same with habitual sin. And I don't know how I got here, but let's explore. Because what once brought shame and sadness and conviction to the heart. Practice long enough no longer brings shame and sadness and conviction to the heart. And some people foolishly interpret that as saying that God has become okay with it, and so they don't feel conviction anymore. No, that's not what it means. It means that you have willfully chosen rebellion. So often that the light of truth no longer penetrates the heart enough for you to feel convicted about it. It's not a good thing when you don't feel convicted over your sin. And when men preach that there is no condemnation, that verse is so taken out of context, and it's used by so many people in the wrong way. Conviction and condemnation are two different things. The Spirit of God convicts the world of sin. It will convict you of sin as well. And so to revel in the idea that there's no longer any conviction regarding the practices that we've become accustomed to is foolhardy at best and dangerous and deadly at worst. So, yeah, this is now a news story, but I guarantee you it won't be the top news story tomorrow, even though, kind of meaty, kind of important. A top congressional ethics official who oversees investigations into misconduct by lawmakers is accused in a federal lawsuit of verbally abusing and physically assaulting women and using his federal position to influence local law enforcement, according to a complaint filed in a federal court in Pennsylvania last month. Look, small people abuse power. That's a lesson that I learned a long time ago. People who always felt impotent, people who always felt weak, once they attain any semblance of power, they will likely abuse it to the utmost. I remember dropping off my mom at LAX. And there was a meter maid lady there. The only power that she held was telling people to move along and threatening them with a ticket. Not even a moving violation. It's just like a parking ticket. So I pull over to let my mom out. And this woman starts screaming and hollering the top of her lungs. You better get moving. You better get moving. I'm getting my ticket book out. Well, ma'am, I'm dropping somebody off. It's legal for me to drop somebody off. It says drop-off zone. I'll tell you when it's okay to drop somebody off and if it is. And so, you know, I bit my tongue. I got my mom's suitcases out of the car. I hugged her. And by the time this woman got her ticket book out, I'd left. But her power was minuscule. And yet she found a way to abuse it. Small people find ways to abuse any kind of power. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to have your finger on the nuclear trigger. You could be a congressional ethics official. A paper pusher, a cog in the big wheel of government, and still find a way to abuse the finite power that you have. So let's read this, because I saw that the young man's name is Omar Ashmawi. Maybe cultural diversity didn't work out so well this time, did it? All right. The ongoing lawsuit against Omar Ashmawi, staff director and chief counsel of the Office of Congressional Ethics, stems from his involvement in a late-night brawl in 2015 in Milford, Pennsylvania, and includes a range of allegations relating to his behavior that evening and in the following 2.5 years. Ashmawi's office conducts the preliminary investigations into allegations of misconduct in the House of Representatives, deciding which cases to pursue or refer to the Committee on Ethics. Now, I'm going to stop here and say something that I hoped I'd never have to say regarding this nation. But the more the layers get peeled back and the more evident the corruption becomes in government, I can safely say that a tin pot, third world banana republic like Romania and its political class have nothing on the American political class. I mean, if you're willing utterly besmirch the reputation of a decent man just to hold on to some tenuous power, or just because you know that he's going to upset the apple cart if he makes his way to Washington, if you're willing to vote against your constituency and against the betterment of the nation simply because you hold a grudge against the current president, if you're willing to sell yourself to the highest bidder and change your opinion with every ebb and flow, then you're as bad of a politician, any politician that I've dealt with in a country that is, by all rights, lawless. See, when we can make up the law as we go along, when we can pick and choose which laws we respect and follow and which we disregard, then the future isn't bright. When certain individuals in the political class are above the law, when their actions are demonstrably criminal, yet there is no prosecution, there is no inquiry, there is no investigation, and everything gets swept under the rug, then allow me to be a wee bit skeptical as to the declaration that no one is above the law, or that we have equal protections under the law. It was made manifestly clear that the whole idea of equal protection under the law in this country is a farce. When they began to investigate Christian groups and groups that stood against the previous administration's agenda, when you weaponize the IRS, when you weaponize Homeland Security, when you weaponize every arm and branch of government in order to keep your power and destroy your enemies, then we have real problems, kids. And as much as I hope that these issues get resolved sooner rather than later, I think the swamp's winning. It's too vast. It's too deep. It's got too many alligators swimming in its depths. And they have proven that they are merciless when it comes to dealing with their enemies, they have proven that they care not a whit, that they're destroying someone's good reputation. They care not a whit that they're destroying someone's life. They care not a whit that some guy went on a bridge and blew his brains out because he couldn't deal with being accused of something he didn't do. See, these people don't play fair. And so it is wisdom itself to take every precaution possible, stand, and make your voice heard. The enemy will have nothing against you. A compromised believer is worthless. And yes, we got back to the spiritual somehow, because it's going to start happening in the church as well. I think that we're so focused on Hollywood and politics because it's just so grandiose, but it'll trickle down. And you're going to hear of mega pastor so-and-so doing untoward things. Not that we haven't heard about such things already, but I think it's just going to explode. Because the season is here when, if you are a compromised individual, whatever it is that the enemy is holding over your head, it's going to drop. I don't believe that the devil's happy that his number one tool of propagandizing the young is being decimated. And yes, I'm talking about Hollywood. And so I do believe that the enemy's about to reciprocate. He's about to go on the counterattack. And a lot of big names in Christendom are going to be highlighted, if you will, and not in the best of lights. As I said, I think this is only the beginning of what will ultimately be a great purging, both in the world and in the church, but I think that it's going to be very painful in the church. Because too many Christians today idolize men rather than revere God. Too many Christians today have put other men up on pedestals, and when those individuals come crashing down, with which they compromise themselves, becomes evident. It's going to wound a lot of innocent people. It's going to wound a lot of people that shouldn't be wounded. Because I still empathize with the sheep, even though some of them try to bite at the shepherd's ankles, even though some of them willingly go towards their own destruction. As a general rule, I still feel empathy for the sheep. And I think there's going to be a lot of wounds to bind up in the coming months and years. And I think that if we are wise, we will be the ones to bind up those wounds. We will be the ones to point out that we cannot conflate God and man, and that if man has done something untoward, if man has compromised himself, if man has sinned, it was man and not God. Don't blame God for what men do. because I've seen far too many people get bitter at God for what other men have done. It wasn't God that deceived you. It wasn't God that talked you into investing in a bulletproof Christian business only to see the elder or the bishop take your hard-earned money and flee the state. It wasn't God that told you to disregard his word and follow your heart. It was man. Don't blame God for what men do. And I think this message has to be very clear, and it has to cut through the chatter, and it has to cut through the noise, and we have to be very resolute in making it the central theme in the coming months. Because the world will attempt to blame God for what men do. The world will attempt to bring shame to the household of faith because of certain individuals who felt no shame in perpetrating their sin. Because the world loves to do that. They love to take one case and highlight it and go, ha ha, this is what Christians are. Sorry, I'm not Ted. I do not enjoy massages by other men, nor do I imbibe in drug paraphernalia. So don't compare me to other men or what they have done. And believers, for some reason, don't like the notion of conflict. They don't like the notion of defending their good name. And so they bite their tongue and they sit idly by while mud is being slinged at them from left and right. Look, I'm going to defend my good name. I know that I'm innocent before God and man. And so if you come at me with something, I'm coming back at you, kid. And I guarantee you that if it happens, the next step is, that's not very loving. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be loving towards the individual who tries to stab me in the back repeatedly. Because the enemy is so good at pivoting and changing the narrative when the current narrative no longer suits him. And Christians fall for it time and again. Oh, you're right. That's not very loving. I'm sorry you tried to destroy me. You falsely accused a brother and tried to destroy my good name. I will not be loving in my reciprocity. Anyway. This is neither here nor there. This is just, I guess, stream of consciousness sort of exhaustion speaking. Because I see it coming. And you know what? I guarantee you, 5 out of 10, guilty of sin. 5 out of 10, you could see it on their dirty faces where they apologize for something they don't think they did but might have done. But what about the other 5, the innocent ones that get dragged into the mud, that get their lives upended? They did nothing more than show cordiality, if you will. See, we have to have a real definition of what assault is. Because me opening the door for somebody is not assault. Gonna get weird. and it's going to get crazy. But these are the times that we're living in. And those who walked in wisdom, and those who walk in light, and those who walk in truth, have done their utmost throughout their existence to leave any shadow of possible allegation, if you will. Not to do anything that would besmirch their reputation. More importantly, not to do anything that would bring shame to the household of faith. And so those who have always walked in wisdom have nothing to fear. Those who have always walked in wisdom have nothing to be concerned with. It's those that try to tap dance in the minefield, if you will. Those that didn't take it too far but just took it close enough, because in their minds they thought they were doing something noble, or they just liked the idea of flirting with fire. It's those individuals that are kind of panicking right now, because they know that, well, they didn't do anything, but still they're not 100% innocent, and so what they did could be twisted into something that it wasn't. Flee the appearance of evil. If it appears wrong, do it and find out if it was wrong later. Flee from it. Just walk away. Say to yourself, I am embracing wisdom by fleeing a situation that has the potential of staining my garment. I am using wisdom by fleeing a situation that has the potential of besmirching my good name. I am fleeing a situation that has the potential of bringing shame to the household of faith. It may be that it would have been absolutely fine and nothing would have happened. Innocent. But why take the risk? Why gamble with your good name? It's one of the hardest things to get back. I mean, I've known people that have had strokes and they've come back from those. They've had heart attacks and came back from those. But once your good name is tattered to shreds, it's hard to come back. To be in the position you once were. This is why your good name must be guarded. This is why a good name is an enviable thing. And this is why the enemy is so set on destroying those with good names. Because he knows the value of a good name. So if tonight you have a good name, guard it with your utmost. Because the enemy's coming. He is seeking to devour. Not the half-hearted, not the lukewarm, not those who already belong to him. But he's seeking to devour those that he knows pose a threat, that he knows can hurt him, that he knows can further the kingdom of light, thereby diminishing the kingdom of darkness. So if you have a good name, guard that good name. And if you don't have a good name, Well, do your utmost to regain it. It doesn't matter if it's almost impossible. You're still supposed to try. So, anyway, thank you all for the kind words and the messages. I have not posted a picture of my daughter on Facebook yet because I'm not that Facebooky. But thank you. I appreciate all the congratulations. We will be here again next week, hopefully a little more rested. Thank you for joining us. May God bless you. May He keep you. May you walk in wisdom and in truth. And until next time, Gino, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mike. And I think those are good words of warning. Stay above reproach. Don't even be involved in the appearance of evil. It's very good admonishment, good reminder. Again, Light of Truth broadcast. Some people do have questions for Mike. Send them to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, Mike's new book, The Battle Ready Believer, is available on our website, handofhelp.com. I was fortunate to go to dinner with Mike last week, saw how excited his daughter Victoria is about the new addition to the family. It's really fabulous to watch. And keep Monica in prayer for quick healing and strength. God bless you all. Have a good night in the Lord.